I'd still go toe-to-toe with the fat fascist. Rush Limbaugh can find me anytime. Rather than dig a proper outhouse, he's going to jail. You know, I don't want to get bit by Ted Stevens. Ted Stevens, listen to me. By Bill Gates's mosquito. Baby, check this out. Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to anyone about anything. I'm Max.
I'm the Fabulous Penguin.
And today is still Tuesday, February 12th. Still Darwin's birthday. Still Lincoln's birthday. And still we have more to say.
But now it's episode 80.
But now it's episode 80. And, welcome.
Yeah. Welcome to you, too.
You know, I got all the stuff in, but I forget the order. I'm going to have to write this down to do the open.
Well, you know, we keep adding stuff. Pretty soon we'll do an opening. It'll be time to close the show.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day where the guy counted all the episodes one by one. You know, this is the first episode of a series, and then he said this is the second. And he went on for like 40, and then I just turned it off. Okay, I get it. It's not your first show. Say something else, which is probably what the people are thinking right now. Right. We got a lot in this, show.
Yeah, we got some interesting topics in this show.
Yep.
Maybe not quite as much quantity, but certainly quality.
Oh, yeah, we got good stuff. And we're probably going to leave a few things on the cutting room floor.
I'm sure. So let's start with this case up here in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Okay. Last week, last Friday, the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts raised some questions about whether Plymouth County prosecutors should have charged three preteen girls in a rape case, not just the teenage boy.
And what we're talking about is them being the girls being charged with rape.
What we're talking about is statutory rape in a consensual situation.
So give that capsule version to the audience that you just gave to me.
Okay, the boy is 14 years old. The three girls are 12, 12, and 11. They had consensual sex.
Consensual sex?
Consensual sex. Consensual. Well, it might have been consensual,
too.
It
probably was.
It happened between August and October, so it was going on pretty regularly. So the issue is that up here in Massachusetts, the boy at age 14 was charged with statutory rape because the three girls were underage. And they raised the issue whether or not the girls should have been charged with statutory rape because they had sex with an underage boy.
Strictly speaking, I guess it would depend on how the law is worded.
But we're talking about consensual sex, and so, you know, it's an interesting situation. You know, the parents of the boy are charging that, you know, that this boy is suffering all of the trauma, okay, of being arrested, suspended from school, thrown off the football
team. He's going to be labeled a sex offender.
Right. And these three girls who, although they certainly were younger than him, still fall within the same guidelines for underage as he did and were not, you know, they were not charged in the situation. And so the Supreme Court ruled that a district attorney has to turn over information on the case and issued a decision last Friday. And basically they said that that statutory rape laws, which once protected only girls, have been amended over the years to give the same protection to boys and girls, and so that these girls, too, should have been charged. And so, of course, they're going to fight this whole thing out in the Supreme Court now.
Well, and obviously it's unfortunate. Nobody wants their 14-year-old, much less their 11 or 12-year-old, having sex. It was consensual, although...
But it did happen. It was consensual. And the reason that they suspected, or not suspected, but the reason that they felt that it was truly consensual was because of the fact that the way that this whole situation was discovered was that one of the girls sent a very, very explicit text message to the boy. And the boy's mother read it. And she went to the girl's parents and said, I just wanted to let you know this is what your daughter
and my son.
Right. said to my son. Right. And they turned around and went to the police and had the boy arrested.
Yeah, obviously it's problematic. One technicality that jumps right out is the word consensual. The reason that it's statutory is because none of these people have achieved the age of consent. Having said that, they all consented. But legally you can't. I don't know. I mean,
but the girl certainly can't, but he couldn't either because he falls under, I believe in Massachusetts, the age of 16. And so the boy was 2 years under that and the girls were 4 years under that. And so, you know, the point that they were trying to make was the fact that the boy too was under that age. And if it was consensual sex between these four children.
Right.
Okay, that the girl should have been equally charged as the boy was. And the Supreme Court at this point is agreeing
with
that.
Well, and technically that has to be true, but I think we all have a bias sort of against males in this category. I know when I've heard the stories of, you know, teenage boys having sex with their teachers and the women going to jail, when I was that age, I could think of a couple of teachers that could have abused me, and you know, I wouldn't have sent them to jail, and it would have been fine. But if somebody did that with my daughter, I'd want to kill them. So
sure.
I mean, you know, bias is bias, but just in a practical sense, this boy is going to be a convicted sex offender.
Well, I would think so, don't you? At this point,
well,
yeah, probably.
Technically, yeah, but he's being convicted technically, and it just doesn't seem like justice is being served.
Right. Interestingly, in the decision, which was a 3-2 majority, Chief Justice Margaret Marshall wrote in the majority ruling that the court noted that the girls said they willingly performed sex acts on the boy. And indeed, sexual behavior seems to melt seamlessly into games like Manhunt, Truth or Dare, and Making Out. But in the dissenting opinion, Justice Francis Spina noted that the boy was 2 years older than the girls, and he felt that the boy had not shown intentional or deliberate discrimination. So,
what does that mean?
You know.
That he would mess around with any of the girls?
Well, I think it means that they were younger than him, and it didn't matter to him. He just...
Yeah. Well, the whole point is that they're not mature enough, mentally mature enough, to be able to make this kind of decision. You know, nobody's helped by being a sex offender out of this. What they need is a good spanking. But then... I know. They'd probably like it.
Max's justice, just spank them.
Just spank them. But only if they don't want you to.
So now, moving from the very serious to the semi-serious.
Yeah.
Okay, we have this Fort Worth, Texas case where there was a trial that took place, and these two This married couple who lived in Northeast Texas, the guy was a lawyer, his wife ran a beauty salon, and last year a woman accused that couple, along with another man, of sexually assaulting her.
Right.
So, during the trial, a whole series of anonymous comments began appearing on a social networking website called topics.com.
Yep.
And there were an estimated, get this, there were an estimated 1,700 statements that were too graphic to be included in the story that was being written. So, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, that doesn't, how many statements could have appeared in this article? So, I mean, this must have been like, you know, the only thing going on in this town for like miles around.
Well, and just people love to talk.
Right. Well, what happened is the couple was found not guilty. So they turned around and they said that they felt like they had been basically raped and their reputation and standing in the community had been destroyed in the community. And so they sued 178 different anonymous posters on the website. And yeah, that the county judge has ordered the website Topics to turn over identifying information about the users in the lawsuit.
This is such an interesting view of human psychology and American
it is.
Psychology.
Well, it is, and also the whole you know, a whole thing about a privacy and anonymity.
Well, this is kind of the other side of the coin that we're always preaching about here on Colin Screaming Argonauts about publishing. The difference being, these people were guaranteed, I assume, under the contract, that they would be anonymous. Anonymity.
And I'm sure they're not using their own names. They're using
right,
you know, names that they choose to post and stuff.
Yeah, people make up names on the intertubes all the time. Right. Not everyone calls you the Fabulous Penguin, although they obviously should.
They should.
But if you,
and not
if
everybody
you,
calls you Max.
No, that's true. If you post something as the Fabulous Penguin when you're writing to the New York Times, you have an understanding, I think, that you're able to say this anonymously. This is we're telling people all the time to post your shit anonymously because it's public.
See, that's the thing that got me, because at the end of this article, it says that internet libel suits have been successful in the past. A few years ago, a North Dakota professor was awarded $3 million over claims a student website defamed him. But it doesn't say anything there about anonymity.
Well, I think it's been established now that internet service providers are not responsible for the content of the people to whom they provide the internet. I think Facebook would be the next step up, but the same idea. We provide you an opportunity to speak publicly, but we're not responsible for it. And if you post anonymously, I think you're supposed to be anonymous.
Well, I personally think we ought to follow this very carefully, because if someday somebody posts on Facebook, I just listened to this Countless Screaming Argonauts podcast,
yeah,
and it really sucks, so don't listen to it.
Andrew Card will listen to the last show and want to know my real name.
Can we then sue them?
I don't think so. I think this is a wrong ruling. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm saying that if they allow the website to turn over the names of these people, and these people are in fact sued, and this couple wins, I would say that we should start scanning the internet, look for people who would call us bad things, and try
sue
to try to sue their asses.
Well, I obviously we should do that.
I mean, I don't, you know, to me it just seems like, you know, I understand what libel is, and I understand that you just can't come out and you know, say I'm the mayor of this town, and I just want to let you know that so and so really stinks or whatever. But at the same time, when you're on the internet, I just assume that there was always this level of anonymity, and you know, did it cross over? I mean, you know, on sites like you told me before we started up tonight that you had read some things on FARC. Okay, and I read Dig all the time, and half the fun of reading these websites is reading the comments.
And there's a
because they can be hysterical.
And there's a degree of assumption of anonymity. There's all kinds of things that I've signed up for where they say, we're not going to give away your name. And generally, it's we're not going to sell your name to somebody who was going to spam you. But I think there's an understanding of anonymity. I don't know a law on it, but...
But if we learn nothing in the last week, we learned that anonymity is nowhere, man.
It's only...
Because, I mean, ask A-Rod what he thinks about anonymity.
Right. Well, that's a good point.
You know? I mean, we learned really fast that anonymity means absolutely nothing when you... When you're told that you're taking this test, it's going to be anonymous, and
it's not.
And then 6 years later, the results are posted, published.
Yeah. The other thing is the psychology of it, and I think this. I don't know if this is my idea originally, or I'm just sort of extending somebody else's idea, but basically, it's the farther and farther removed we are from a person, the more we're likely to be outrageous or to say what we think, however you want to say it.
Well, look at us, Max.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so far in episode 79. Just how far were we removed from the Bush guy? And what did we say about
him?
Well,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean,
but he's a bad man.
It's right, of course, but I'm saying we're farther removed from every,
that's,
from
that's
these
true.
Things.
And Andrew Carr could probably kick my ass, but I'd still go toe to toe with the fat fascist. Rush Limbaugh can find me anytime.
Well, you know, so I think it's
a good point. People are more likely to be outrageous if they feel like they have the security of anonymity, just like they're a little more likely to flip you the bird if they're driving in the other direction than if they're standing on the sidewalk next to you.
Remember we were talking about Brian's rules and then we had Max's corollary?
Yeah.
This could be another one. The further you're removed from
the
situation, the more outrageous you can be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. You're right. We're learning to live in a completely connected age, and not everybody's figured out the subtleties yet.
I mean, don't people like David Letterman or any one of those Comedy Central shows? I mean, you know, John Stewart
but they have the people on the show, and they will confront them. And Republicans, in fact, are all the time sending people onto Jon Stewart's Daily Show,
right?
Just because they want to get their say,
right? But I mean, it's his being removed from the situation that allows him to make the kind of comments that he makes, you know. And same thing with a Letterman kind of situation. The further removed you are from the situation, I think the more outrageous you can be.
Yeah, you might be right. We got to move along here. We got stuff.
Sure.
So. This Amish guy, I want to get back to Letterman, but we're going to talk about this Amish guy next, right?
Right, sure, absolutely. Go for it.
Well, the story, if I remember right, and I haven't looked at it in a little while, the court told him that he had to dig a sewage device.
Right, that he couldn't use the outhouses that were attached to his school.
Right.
Because of the sewage laws, and that he had to pay $1,500 or $1,600 in fines for not having the outhouses in compliance, and he chose to not bring them into compliance and go to jail rather than do that.
Rather than dig a proper outhouse, he's going to jail.
Right, essentially.
And I love the names. It's the guy's name is Schwarzentruber, and the judge's name is Krumenacher. So, you know, the docket is Schwarzentruber versus Krumenacher,
right.
Or the other way around, I guess. I just love that. But, you know, here's this Amish guy standing on principle, and I think we all respect and admire the way the Amish people stand on principle. But the thing that I can't get out of my mind is, what could possibly be so bad, so offensive about digging a new latrine that would make you go to jail rather than do it? because it's obviously in your best interest to have a new commode, you know?
You see, now, I it's interesting that you say that, because I was wondering where you were going with this. I was wondering if it was, in fact, that they can't use an outhouse, and that instead that they're supposed to put in a sewer line or some sort of...
internal plumbing?
Yeah, I'm not sure that that's what it's about, but regardless of whether it's that they didn't dig deep enough for the outhouse or they're supposed to put in a cesspool or something like that.
I would think that's it, that they want a chemical cesspool. I'm guessing this is totally a fabrication of my imagination. And they're saying, Mr. Schwarzentruber is saying that he can't do it for ethical reasons, can't use modern chemistry. And I love the quote from the judge here. I have great respect for their religion and their way of life. However, I do have great respect for the law of Pennsylvania, and I have a duty to uphold the law. He's like, come on, guy. Just throw some chemicals on your shit.
Give us a break here.
Yeah. I really don't want to send you to jail.
Right. And the guy is standing on his principles. And you know, do you think that we have like a do you think that we have like a special place in our heart for the Amish in general?
I think.
And so this kind of strikes even a deeper chord than normal.
I do. There's something admirable about them. I heard a question that, you know, one of those radio teases that was left unanswered that went something like, where is the only place where peer pressure is the means of forcing people to pay a debt? And I think it's the Amish. I heard a story about Amish banking, and it's flourishing. The bankers go willingly to these Amish people and say, you know, what do you want to borrow? Because the only way they can judge, you know, Amish income is by the good word of their neighbors, and they know from the peer pressure that if they say they're going to pay them back, they have the lowest mortgage failure rate of any group in the entire country.
I also just read a thing recently, you know, down in Arkansas, they had that horrible, horrible ice storm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they have a large community of Amish there.
Yeah.
And they gave up, this group of Amish people gave up their lanterns.
Wow.
To the people who had lost their power.
Wow.
And the reasoning behind it was that they were used to living without electricity, and so they wouldn't mind that change, but these people were not used to living without light, and so they wanted to give them that gift, and it was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I think that
We have a run at Home Depot, and we grab up every candle, flashlight, and generator in sight, and these guys are giving away their
own lanterns.
And neighbor
be damned. You know, if me and my neighbor are fighting over the last generator, I'm going to go down to the hammer aisle and make sure I get it.
Screwdriver and a wrench them.
But the Amish don't think that way, and I think it's entirely noble. You know, they just have this real nobility, and
that may be why we have that special place in our hearts, because
so.
they are a noble group,
and they, I believe, live the Christian life closer to Christ than anybody else in terms of loving thy neighbor as thyself, turning the other cheek. They actually live what Christ taught better than any other Christian group that I'm aware of. And, you know, I think that's to be admired. I have my problems with religion, as you know, but I would certainly be happy to have Amish people as my neighbors, and I admire them. And I think that, you know, there's just a lot there. So this poor judge is saying, I got to throw this bum in the clinker Because, you know, he won't throw, this is my imagination, he won't throw chemicals.
No, but I think you're right.
On his doo-doo. And you're just like, come on, buddy.
And the guy knows he's going to jail, and he says, not to worry, we'll go to jail, we'll read the Bible, we have to stand up for our religion.
Right.
And he's not upset about it at all.
But the other thing I want to say is I think he's wrong. I suspect that the law is there for a reason, that I suspect maybe what he's doing is a danger to groundwater. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about. It wouldn't be the first time. And I think the judge also has to do what he has to do, which is why I love this story. Here's this seemingly honest and honorable judge throwing this seemingly reasonable and upright moral person in jail. And the judge can't back down, and the guy won't back down.
Right.
So I love the story. And it's all over poo. I just, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
you got to make your stand. I'm still trying to clean up my language. Andrew Card got me really hyper last time, but I'm trying to be good. It's going to be a year-long effort, I think.
Well, listen, we started out with the real, real serious, then we kind of moved to the semi-serious. Now we're lightened up
right.
a bit, and I understand you got a couple of...
Well, the first thing I wanted to say, I wanted to mention Joaquin Phoenix on David Letterman because I thought it was really funny. You have to see it. At one point, Letterman goes, he chides him for chewing his gum. I can't remember how the thing went. So Joaquin Phoenix takes it out of his mouth and puts it on the underside of Letterman's desk. And it goes on for like 6 minutes, this exchange, through a commercial. And finally, Letterman, at the end of the interview, he goes, "Well, Joaquin, I'm sorry you couldn't be here tonight."
Now, I don't know who this Joaquin Phoenix is.
He's River Phoenix's brother, for one thing. And he played Johnny Cash in Walk the Line. I think he might have won an Academy Award or got a nomination anyway. He came out looking like a bear with this huge beard and scruffy hair. I mean, his hair was messed up.
And he said that he's given up being an actor and he's going to be a rapper or something, right? Is that what I heard?
Hip-hop musician.
Hip-hop musician.
At which point, Paul Schaefer just started screaming with laughter, and Joaquin Phoenix looked over his shoulder and said, "What the fuck was that?" It's a very bizarre interview, and it's worth seeing.
So is he promoting a movie or something at this point?
Yes, he's got a love story out now, and he's promoting it. But Letterman was like pulling teeth to try to get him to talk about it. And he said,
"Well,
did you bring a clip?" And he's like, "I don't know."
Well, you know, when I look at something like this, you know what I say to myself?
What?
I say, self, if I was promoting something, I mean, every single actor, actress, author,
yeah,
whoever, musician, who appears on a show like that, whether it's Letterman or Jay Leno or whoever,
yeah,
okay, it's always the same thing. You know, they get interviewed and they say, "Oh, it was great experience working
right.
with."
Love the co-star.
Right, whoever that is, and do I have a clip? Oh yeah, this clip is it a real important part of the movie when this happens?
Right.
And they show it's 9 seconds long, you know.
Right.
It shows the guy burping or something, and then that's the clip, and then, you know, if you or I don't happen to look to see who's on Letterman, we never hear about that appearance at all, but everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix's appearance on Letterman last night.
Yeah, well, I don't think this was a promotional thing. I think he's a little unusual, and I think he figures he's got enough residuals coming back from Walk the Line that he really doesn't have to work anymore, and he'll get some big money for this, and
well,
he's going away.
I have to tell you that Research Girl is sitting behind me,
yeah,
listening to us as we do our show,
yeah,
and she just says we have to remember the fact that they were brought up in a cult.
Well, I thought their parents were hippies.
It was a cult, she said. It
okay.
was. She can't remember the name of the cult, but it was a cult, not just hippies.
Well, you know my theory about cults.
No, why don't you tell me?
The difference between a cult and religion is inertial mass.
Okay.
Look at the Mormons.
I can see that.
They were a cult when they got thrown out of, when Joseph Smith got thrown out of New York. But now it's an established religion.
No, I understand, yeah.
Next thing I want to talk about is Bill Gates. Do you know what the TED conference is?
The TED conference?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Technology, Education, and Design. Brian put me onto this just a few months ago. They give somebody, I think it's 18 minutes, to make a speech and dazzle them. And you can go to, I think it's TED.com. You can go online and see these most intelligent people in the world making their case for this passion that they have, and they have got to do it in 18 minutes. And there's some good stuff there. It's really, really a worthwhile webpage. I should have done that under the Ted Stevens Intertubes show. But anyway, so Bill Gates was the speaker, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and he gets up and he's talking about malaria. And he says, malaria just shouldn't be for poor people alone. I've got this jar of mosquitoes here. And he opens it up and he lets out all the mosquitoes to this audience of people who paid $6,000 a piece to go to this conference.
And they gasped, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then about 10 minutes later, he goes, don't worry, those don't have malaria. You know, and it's an attention grabber.
Yeah, you think?
But, you know, I thought about it for a little while, and I was listening to This Week in Tech, another podcast, and they're ripping on him, and I think they're exactly right. This is an asshole move, excuse my language.
Right, because?
You know, there's still mosquitoes. Not to right. mention, you know, the mosquitoes carry other diseases.
Sure.
He inflicted, he literally opened up a jar full of mosquitoes and sort of waved them out to the crowd.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's not the end of the world, unless, of course, you actually get malaria, but...
Or one of the other diseases, like equine...
Right, or West Nile.
Encephalitis.
You know, I don't want to get bit by Ted Stevens... Ted Stevens, listen to me. By Bill Gates's mosquito.
Mosquitoes? Well, if you did get bit, maybe you could sue him.
You
probably.
Know, I think this falls under Brian's rules, too.
It might be.
Maybe you should.
Bill Gates, one of the smartest men in the world, is stupid?
Stupid.
Or did a stupid thing, at least.
Yeah, some people have already sued him, I heard, because of transporting, you know, unsafe insects for the purpose of biting people. I don't know what it was.
Right.
But it's an incredibly stupid thing for Bill Gates to have done. And it's an obnoxious thing to have done. If you want to get somebody's attention, you know, hit them with a good PowerPoint presentation, or
not with a jar of mosquitoes.
Not with a jar of mosquitoes. I think you know that.
Would you have felt better if there were actually no mosquitoes in the jar, but he said there were?
Yes.
That would have been okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm just checking.
Yeah. My point is that he actually, you know, brought a bunch of mosquitoes in. Well, it's still obnoxious.
And who knows where they came from? They could have been alien mosquitoes from another country or something. I mean, that's terrible.
Well, no, that's true. And somebody on Twitter was saying interstate transport of, you know, an unsafe insect. It's just...
Listen, I got an update for
you
here.
Yeah.
Okay, research girl.
Yeah.
Found that River Phoenix thing. They were brought up in the by the cult Children of God, which also was known as Family of Love, The Family, and Family International, a Christian religious group widely referred to as a cult by the media, in Huntington Beach, California. It's an offshoot of the Jesus movement of the 60s and early converts drawn from the hippie movement. So you were relatively right with that hippie
comment.
Somewhat
close. They're Jesus hippies.
Yeah, basically, that's what it is.
Thank Research Girl for us.
I will.
She's on her toes.
First appearance by Research Girl in quite a while.
Yeah. Always glad to have her on the show.
Absolutely.
So I have some other stories from other things that bad people did that brought with them to their event. Like
go for it.
Alex Rodriguez brought a bag of bats to spring training. Lon Chaney Jr. brought the undead to his Halloween event.
Uh-huh.
And then Dick Cheney wanted to bring the undead, but Lon Chaney had them all already. That's it. That's all I got.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, bro, it wasn't worth the wait, though, that's for sure.
Well, we could certainly, I mean, it could become a regular feature on Countless Screaming Argonauts to figure out the equivalent of the Bill Gates jar of mosquitoes.
Do we need a Bill Gates mosquitoes award?
We might, because I'll have to think of some. I'm sure we can come up with a few.
Right. Speaking of coming up with a few, I do have one more thing, and this was one of those things that got passed around through email. A million people have read it already, and maybe you've seen it. It's the Ben and Jerry's. They have a new flavor for Barack Obama. It's called Yes Pecan. That's true.
Is that really true?
That's really true.
That's great. Yeah. Yes, because
I've seen it in the stuff. But the next question is, what should be the George W. Bush flavor? And here's some things for the Bush administration. Grape Depression. The Housing Crunch.
Uh-huh.
Abu Grape. Nothing Accomplished. Cluster Fudge. Chalk and Awe. Wire Tapioca. Impeach Cobbler.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one.
Guantanamo. And this one probably is my favorite. Heck of a Job Brownie.
Oh, God.
Rocky Road to Fascism. Cookie Dough. Death by Chocolate and Torture. Credit Crunch. Chunky Monkey in Chief. And the final one is I Broke the Law and Am Responsible for the Deaths of Thousands with Nuts.
But you can't get it on the carton. Has to be a half gallon. It can't be a pint.
That's true. Mission Accomplished. And the one I would add is Choke a Lot.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So there's a few more, I think, out there that have yet to be invented. But I thought that was some pretty funny stuff. I don't usually pass around stuff that's I've seen on the intertubes, but I thought those were worth doing.
And I didn't realize that was actually a real flavor, the Yes Pecan.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good one. I like that a lot.
It is. They come up with great names. You know, sometimes they mix and match. I don't always like Ben and Jerry's flavors, but I like their attitude.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty fond of Cherry Garcia.
Did I ever tell you, I think we might have, did I ever tell you that my friend's Ben and Jerry's story about going to the Grateful Dead concert?
I'm sure you did, but I don't
okay,
remember.
Okay, real quick. I have a friend who's a Grateful Dead fan, decided to go see them in concert up in Vermont, get stuck in a huge traffic jam, miles and miles and miles of miles and miles and miles of cars.
Right.
He's sitting there. He sees this hippie-looking guy walking by, and he turns to his friend who's in the car with him and says, look at that guy. This is gross, that guy walking up the street. And he says, dude, that's Ben from Ben and Jerry's.
Just another couple of hippies.
Just another couple of hippies going up the road.
Well, I think I need some good job brownie ice cream.
Okay.
Heck of a job brownie ice cream.
All right. Listen, it was great. We had a lot of fun tonight.
Yep. And we'll have to do it again sometime soon.
Real soon, like maybe next week.
Let's try it for next week.
All right, sounds good.
We stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming.